And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to Chimp Out Radio. This is episode number 7. Thank you so much for being with us again. I'm your co-host, Nub Nice, and I am, as always, joined by my esteemed co-host, Burman. Hello, Burman, and welcome.
Hey, Nub Nice, how you doing?
Doing great. Being joined here tonight by my good friend Mickey Smoked Liquor. I've had a couple of 24-ounce cans, and I'm feeling pretty drunk. So I apologize if any odd behavior results during this program.
We'll have to throw you in the drunk tank if you get it. Maybe we'll post Chimp Out number 7 in the drunk tank.
That might be a good idea. See, this is all – I mean, forgive me if I'm, calling out the wrong person here. But there was a thread recently about cheap beers on the forum.
Yeah.
And someone was talking about how Mickey's was good. It was, you know, pretty good for what it was. I think it was Justin Iger. I could be wrong, and I apologize if I am. So I thought, hey, you know, Mickey's, you know.
I always thought Mickey's tasted like black olives, because I drank that shit years ago. I haven't drank Mickey's in years, but it tastes like black olives to me for some reason.
Well, I never had either. I was always afraid of it, because I always saw the word smart liquor on the bottle, so I thought, well, I don't want any part of this. But then someone in the Chimp Out forum vouched for it, and I thought, hey, maybe I can have some. So I thought, last week I picked up a couple of 24-ounce cans, and I had them, and I thought, this ain't bad. It actually tasted okay. So I thought, good deal. Maybe I find a new brand. And for tonight's show, I bought like 3 cans, and I'm drinking them, and they don't taste so good now. So I don't know what changed, but I'm drinking them anyway. Because
after the third beer, it doesn't matter anyways. You're already committed.
Oh, yeah. I'm halfway through this. These things are $1.49 a can. It's big money these days, at least, and during recession time. So I'm finishing these. If everything goes horribly wrong halfway through the show, that's my fault. More importantly, it's Mickey's fault and whoever suggested it. However, let's go ahead and move on here because we got quite a bit to talk about, as we always do. We got some news stories, nigger-related news stories that we want to tackle. And the first one, Berman, has to do with a rather humorous event having to do with a nigger who was about to be made good. What was that all about?
Okay, the story is called, it's posted in General Monkey Shines, posted by Stinky Niggs. Cowardly nigger gets carried into the death chamber. Okay. Edward Nathaniel Bell, who was convicted of killing the officer during a foot chase a decade ago, was pronounced dead at 9:11 p.m. Thursday at Greensville Correctional Center. When the door between Bell's cell and the death chamber opened, the inmate thrust his hips backward and wouldn't step towards the gurney where the lethal injection was to be administered. 6 stocky correction officers pulled him through the doorway and lifted him onto the gurney. I didn't do nothing, man. I'm innocent, I tell you. The Tim Brook family, who were the victims, he said, you definitely have the wrong person to the family who is witnessing the execution. Addressing the victim's family, the truth will come out one day. This here killing me, there's no justice about it. I said I didn't do nothing. Bell, 43, was condemned for shooting Winchester Police Sergeant Ricky Tim Brook as the officer chased him down a dark alley on October 29, 1999. Governor Timothy M. Kaine denied Bell's request for clemency earlier Thursday. So he's on his way to the death chamber, and he's still screaming about his innocence to the last very second. I didn't do it. I didn't do nothing, man. That's funny.
It's the injustice. Know what I'm saying? Good God. I mean, hey, you know, look, if you're condemned to death, you're going to get executed, try to act with a little dignity on your way out, okay? Even if you're a nigger.
Well, I'm sure he received a nice last meal of chitlins and barbecued ribs and fried chicken. You know, they probably didn't give him any malt liquor to drink, but, you know, he probably had a nice last meal. And, you know, usually by the last meal it occurs to somebody that they're going to die pretty soon.
No, yeah, he's like, hey, no, I'm saying I'm going to die, shit. Oh, Lordy. Well, at least, hey, at least he's gone.
Yes, he's very much at room temperature or ground temperature at this point.
Yeah, he's at warm food temperature at this point, I would hope. But, you know, I mean, if you're at that point where you're about to get executed, it's kind of past the time where you'd be protesting your innocence, I think.
Yeah, it's rather pointless, but I guess niggers being niggers, they insist on proclaiming their innocence to the very last minute, even though they know they're going to die.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a nigger mind for you right there. But the thing is, I'm sure in his mind he was still innocent, because whatever horrible crap he did was still completely natural to him. I mean, and let's face it, there is, after all, some truth to that. Would you execute a dog for barking, or a chimp for tearing someone's face off?
Well, yeah, as far as the chimp is concerned.
Well, yeah, the chimp in Connecticut who almost killed that lady, yeah, he got put down, because what else could the cops do? But, you know, my point is, if you are a wild animal and you have these wild behaviors and you do what nature has dictated for you to do, well, who are we to be angry? The best thing we can do is to send these animals, just separate them from the rest of the human population, send them out to the jungle somewhere where they can be as savage as they want.
Oh, yeah, they can go out to the jungle all they want. I'd be glad to send all the inmates in America, all the nigger inmates in America, back to Africa where they can, you know, swing around trees, throw coconuts at each other, and, you know, do whatever it is they do.
Yeah, they can do whatever it is they do over there. But speaking of inmates or brand new nigger inmates, here's one who just joined Nigger College. And this is a story that was posted by Aryan Nigger Hater in the forums. Thanks to Aryan Nigger Hater for posting this, because I found this story very representative of what a nigger does in this country. This is basically what happened, just to kind of summarize. There's this lady, this white lady, upper middle class, very well to do. She used to be a scientist, an epidemiologist, as a matter of fact, for the American Cancer Society, a productive member of the human race, very admirable. However, she had one fatal, in her case deadly, defect. She didn't know not to trust these apes. And this is what happened. Let me read from the story. This is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Their fateful meeting at the high-rise Midtown condo complex, the prominent cancer researcher and the young nigger, I mean man, described by police as a two-bit criminal, was nothing but chance. Eugenia Jeannie Kelly, who had a condo on the Echo Building's 20th floor, was walking her gray poodle. Shamal Thompson, a nigger, age 22, fresh off a meal at a nearby Checkers fast food restaurant, what a surprise, wandered in under the pretense of shopping for condos in the luxury building that boasts private elevators, around-the-clock security, and skyline-view homes that cost as much as $2.5 million. So right here, let me just interrupt the story here. If let's say you're a security guard at a complex where condos cost up to $2.5 million, and I see a nigger walking in, I'd be like, hey, something's wrong here.
What doesn't fit?
Yeah, you know, one of these things doesn't belong with the rest. So basically, this poor lady, Miss Kelly, really a stupid lady, to be honest, she saw this nigger coming in, and he was inquiring about, you know, condos that were for sale. Obviously, what he was really doing was casing the place so he could come rob it later. Well, she overheard him, and she said, hey, don't forget about mine. My condo is for sale also. So Thompson the nigger heard her and said, hey, you know, let me go ahead and take a look at your condo. So Miss Kelly took her up to her condo to give him a tour. And once they were up there, The nigger hit her in the back of the head with a blunt object and killed her. Stole some cash off her, her credit cards, a diamond ring, you know, who knows what else. So he went on a shopping spree, with her credit cards, gave the ring to one of his hoes, and then this imbecile nigger comes back like a night later. He comes back to the condo because one of the things he stole from Miss Callie's corpse was her swipe card, you know, to get into the building.
Yeah.
So he came back to the scene of the crime with the card, with his friends. And, of course, the security guard saw him. They're like, you know, they know this nigger doesn't live here. They call the cops, and they arrested him. And he's on his way to Nigger College at the very least, if not a death penalty. You know, what I liked about his story is that it had two, like I mentioned before, two main subjects here. You trust niggers, bad things happen to you. That's number one. Number two, niggers are incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Needless to say, I mean, he came back to the crime scene with his buddy. I guess he was, like, bragging for street cred or something, but... You know, only a nigger would return to the crime scene with his buddies and brag about it or do whatever. Maybe he wanted to rape the corpse, I don't know. But
well, fortunately for him, the corpse was already gone by then, and cops had taken it away.
Lordy, lordy, that's going to get me some...
Go get me some dead pussy and shit.
I don't care if it's dead, man. I'm going to hit that shit.
Yeah, he hit it all right with a blunt object in the back of the head. And according to Atlanta Police Lieutenant Keith Meadows, and I'm quoting the lieutenant, he said, the nigger was extremely brazen. It's a little unsettling when people are that bold. I can't even put it into words. Well, I can put it into words. Actually, one word. The word is nigger.
Yep. And the moral of the story is, don't trust niggers. You know, yeah. It's really unfortunate that this woman had to die, but you know, if I were her family, I'd be suing whatever school system raised her to believe that niggers were okay and they're safe. You know, you live in a $2 million condo and some nigger off the street in his baggy pants goes, yo, I'm looking to buy a condo, and she, yeah, right, nigger, you're here to rob the place. Get out.
Yeah, you know, you see some ape coming into a lobby dressed like a rapper and saying, yeah, I'm looking to buy the condo. You know what I'm saying? You know, that should raise some red flags, I would think. And this woman, I shouldn't feel sorry for her, but I do, because she was obviously, you know, a productive member of society, you know, a productive scientist. But I guess he was just brainwashed.
She's a victim of brainwashing. I mean, she died because, you know, she was raised to believe that niggers are cool and they're, you know, give them an even chance and, you know, not, you know, don't judge them by the color of their skin, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she died for it.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. I mean, look, where I grew up in Puerto Rico, it's a quote-unquote multiracial society, and even down there, if some nigger like this walk into a lobby of a fancy condo to shop for a condo, he'd be laughed out of the lobby. He'd be told, look, you obviously can't afford any of this shit, get out of here. But I mean, here in the United States, we've been under this relentless, decades-long propaganda barrage.
Yeah.
That these animals can be trusted, and that they're like us. You know, that they're just doing badly because they're disadvantaged. There are people who fall for this, and sometimes, tragically, they pay with their lives.
Yeah. You wouldn't let a rattlesnake into your house. Why would you let a nigger into your house? Same thing.
Absolutely. Worse. You know, a rattlesnake has much less deadly potential than one of these monsters. Well, speaking of snakes and other jungle animals, and, well, that kind of reminds me of Africa. I do believe you have a story about Africa, Birdman, that caught your attention, specifically about a recent topic of the Nigger World Atlas, the country of Angola.
Yeah, it's funny. You just wrote about Angola and the Nigger Atlas, and this story came up. Angola acts after rabies deaths. Apparently in Angola, there's a mass animal rabies vaccination scheme is underway after the deaths of 71 children from the disease in the capital over the last 3 months. Local authorities in Luanda have also been rounding up stray dogs and cats. But the BBC's Louise Redvers in Luanda says finding the animals in the city's overcrowded slums isn't easy. There's a lot of worry here. We have children. It's a worry for all mothers here, one woman told the BBC. Our correspondent says the victims have been aged between 3 and 10 years old, and by the time they arrive at the hospital, they cannot be saved. Dr. Linda Ferreira, who works at the pediatric hospital in the capital, appealed for dog owners to get their animals vaccinated. Yeah, right. You know, niggers in the States don't even take care of their animals, let alone, you know, in Angola. They could care less about, you know. Angola, which is rich in oil and diamonds, is in a period of reconstruction after 27 years of civil war. 1 in 4 children in Angola die before their 5th birthday, one of the worst child mortality rates in the world. So all these kids are dropping dead from rabies, and the nigger scammers are running a rabies vaccination scheme. I guess they're putting saline solution in bottles and selling it as rabies vaccines because everybody's clamoring to get their hands on these vaccinations now. You know, only in Angola, only in Africa would something like this happen.
Before I wrote the Nigger Atlas entry on Angola, I did, of course, as I always do when I do these things, I did some research, and Angola is a real tragedy, almost on a par with South Africa. You know, Angola was a Portuguese colony for almost 400 years, one of the longest-lived African colonies. And Angola was a model colony. I mean, its capital, Luanda, which you mentioned in the story, was considered at one point to be the Paris of Africa. It had gorgeous architecture, culture, you know, it was clean and orderly, a real paradise, you know, great climate. It was below the equator, so it had a favorable climate. It wasn't too hot, not too cold. It was just gorgeous. And I look at pictures of colonial, meaning pre-1975 Luanda, while I was doing research for my article on Angola, and it was a real beauty. I would have loved to been there back then. You know, once the country became independent, it took the niggers, I don't know, maybe about 10 years or less to turn the place into a living hell. And now it's going so bad. I mean, it's gone to the point where you have to worry about kids getting rabies. What the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough if you live somewhere and you have to worry about dogs or raccoons having rabies. But children,
yeah.
You know, things have gotten, I mean, what the Portuguese built in Angola over 400 years has been utterly destroyed by the niggers in less than 40.
Yeah. Well, the same is true in just about every African country, really, that was colonized by Europe. They were great, thriving places for a long time under European rule. And then when Europe pulled out, they got sick of all the chimpots, they just pulled out and gave them independence. And in a matter of a couple of years, the country goes to shit.
It's the same story over and over again, and that's why, you know, when I write a Nigger Atlas, at this point it's getting repetitive because it's the same thing in one African country after another. And it's just, it's really, you know, it's hard not to get angry because these are places that used to be just fine and they've been turned into a living hell.
Well, as I've mentioned before, Africa is so bountiful in natural resources, yet the whole place is a freaking train wreck. They got all these natural resources, but they can't overcome the one thing that makes them fail every time, and that's the niggers themselves.
And as long as we let these beasts squat over such a beautiful, bountiful continent, it's never going to change. Let's just go ahead and take a break right now. And we're going to have a guest on, and we'll talk about, well, what irritates us about nigger behavior. And I'm sure it'll be a good, long conversation. But let's go ahead and break for some music. Here's a little song from M.O.D., who we've had on the show before.
Yeah, they're always good for ripping on niggers.
Yeah, they're awesome. It's a pity they had to break up. But enjoy this song for now, and we will be right back with Chimp Out Radio. Welcome back to Chimp Out Radio, ladies and gents. Thank you for staying with us. And I am joined by my co-host, Birdman. And we have a special guest, as we usually do, a member of the Chimp Out Forums who often entertain us with his on-the-spot post, Dwight Mann's Burden. Welcome, Dwight.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you on. Here in the second half of the show, we wanted to talk about something that, to be honest, I can't believe we haven't talked about in previous episodes because it's such a sort of a general, rich subject.
Very fertile territory here.
Yes, we could, theoretically, we could go on for hours with this. What makes niggers so annoying? Why do we hate them? You know, and this can be a very personal question. So let's start with you, Burman. Other than, I guess, some of the more obvious reasons, like they're genetically inferior, what annoys you the most about these monkeys?
I think what annoys me the most would be how loud they are and obnoxious. The bright clothes, the big, stupid 25-inch wheels that they have on their hoopties. They're god-awful music. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, I cannot find one damn good thing to describe niggers with. You know, and I just see one on the street, you know, just bouncing, you know, walking slow as molasses down the street with his arms swinging around and, you know, his pants down around his ankles. And, you know, it just annoys me just to look at them.
Yeah, well, I can definitely relate to that, and I will get to my reasons here in a second, but Dwight, I want to hear from you first. I won't ask you to name the most annoying thing, because I'm sure there are way too many things that could claim the number one spot, but what are the most annoying things about niggers, in your opinion?
Well, I think the thing that annoys me the most about niggers, jigaboos, is what Birdman said. They always need to be the center of attention, and they delight in getting in the way of anybody else. They're oblivious to the impact they have on the rest of society. I don't see very many day-to-day where I live here on the Upper Left Coast, but I went to the airport up in Portland, which is the biggest city nearby, and believe you me, there are niggers there. And they're just like niggers anywhere. and they impede the progress of order. They're in the way, want to be the center of attention, and they generally are. Best thing to do is to try to minimize contact or coontact.
That's very true, and you know, that's an excellent point. You know, these niggers, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, they must always go out of their way to call attention to themselves. And just think about anything they do. For example, the clothing they wear. You know, they can't just wear normal human clothing. The clothing they wear has to be purple, neon green, and orange. They have to make sure you're looking at them. They gotta drive purple Cadillacs. You know, they can't talk quietly on their cell phones while they're at a grocery store. They gotta be yelling at the top of their lung. They gotta have just this loud, cheap-looking jewelry all over. They wanna make sure you're noticing them. Why? I don't know, because nobody would wanna notice them. But they wanna make sure you're looking at them at all times.
A good example was last month when the airliner crashed in the Hudson River in New York. And everybody was rescued, which was a wonderful thing. But I remember seeing videos of the survivors getting off the rescue boats and getting back onto the shore. And everybody was conducting themselves in a reasonable, calm, orderly manner, except for the one nigger. And he was jumping and jiving and got in front of the camera and waved and just exhibited TNB.
Yeah. I'm getting rescued, know what I'm saying?
I'm sure that was the highlight of that nigger's life, is being on camera after being rescued from a near-death situation. But he was probably totally oblivious to the fact that he almost just died, you know. Look at me!
He was figuring on a bunch of free drinks, probably.
Yeah.
And who knows what else.
Well, hey,
wait till the lawsuit comes in from the airline. They're all probably suing the airline anyways, but he'll hit the nigger lottery and buy a brand new Cadillac with 25-inch wheels and, you know, and just be and blow through his settlement in a matter of 6 months and, you know, go back to being on welfare for a while.
Well, from what I understand, the airline already gave out, I forget how much, several thousand dollars to each passenger that was on that flight. So I'm wondering, how much of this money did this particular nigger already spend on crack, hose, and Colt 45?
The airline gave each one of them $5,000, assuming they each lost their carry-on. I'm betting that coon spent that $5,000 that first weekend.
He bought rims for his car.
Hey, we humans are glad to help. You know, if our money can go to buy a nigger hoopty some rims, of course we're glad to help, right? But this is a perfect point to make in this conversation, because this nigger tendency to draw attention to themselves is tied to their tendency to boast. You know, if you ever met a nigger, you know they're very boastful. They're always bragging. And easiest place to see this behavior is with nigger rappers or crappers. You know, they're always bragging about how much money they have, how much bling they have, you know, how expensive their car is. It's like their whole life is based around bragging about whatever they do have, whether it was acquired by honest work or not.
Well, bragging about what they do have and whining about what they don't have.
That's another thing. Like for example, with this, once Obongo got elected president, it's been a torrent of nigger whine about how the government is going to pay my mortgage and the government is going to pay my car and shit, and I'm going to get mine now, and where's my money? And it's sickening. Look, you know, niggers. And I know there's niggers listening to the show. So listen to me now. Nobody owes you a damn thing. You were not slaves. Your parents were not slaves. Your grandparents were not slaves either. Nobody owes you a damn thing. If you want anything in this world, get it for yourself. And I mean legally. I don't mean by robbery or rape or fraud.
Well, that's exactly right. My parents and my grandparents and great-grandparents did not own slaves. They came to this country well after slavery was over. They worked for their living. They made something of themselves, and they didn't rely on everybody else to subsidize them. Unfortunately, that's what the Negroes in this country want. They want a free ride, and I'm not going to give it to them.
You're damn right.
That's one thing that infuriates me about the reparations thing. They're going to push it through somehow because of Bongo's president. But, you know, my grandparents came here in the 1890s. I mean, my family was not here during the slavery days, but apparently I'm going to end up having to pay them for reparations anyway just because I'm white.
That's right. It's race-based. And we're the white race or any race other than the Negro race is guilty just because of our race.
Yeah, and if you go for reparations, I mean, where does it stop? Look, every race and ethnicity in this world has been wronged at some time by someone. But guess what? History moves on. We got to get over it at some point.
Well, history moves on, but niggers don't. They always live to whine another day.
That's a good title for a James Bond movie, Whine Another Day.
Yeah, he'll be in an Aston Martin with 25-inch wheels.
Yeah, I'm blasting JC. Now, Dwight, let me ask you, as our guest, we always try to solicit contacts from our guests here on the show. Do you have any recent, or even if they're not recent, any notable contacts that you'd like to share?
Well, the most recent, there have been two. I live in a small town. There's 1,600 people here, and there's another 1,600 in the suburbs. So there's 3,200 altogether. And as far as I know, according to the Census Bureau, there's only six coons in the whole town. I hardly ever see them, but I did see one the other day. Over there's a community basketball court, and
of course,
kids play basketball there. Here was this big strapping nigger wearing his New York baseball warm-up jersey and his hoodie, and he's not from here. I guarantee you he's a scout sent out from Portland or one of the bigger cities trying to sell dope to the local kids or whatever. I did talk to the sheriff's deputy down the road about this guy, and they're going to watch for him. The other contact was yesterday at Walmart. Big strapping buck coming out of Walmart, and all the nigger lovers were smiling and nodding and making eye contact. But of course, when I met the jig, I just gave him the cold shoulder and walked on in. It doesn't happen very often, but we do see him around here sometimes.
Wow. Hey, I gotta admit, where you live sounds pretty good. If seeing a nigger at Walmart is a novelty, I would love to live there.
Yeah, there's one quadroon or mulatto who works there, but all the rest of the staff is white.
Wow.
And you go there, and it's very rare. Once in a while, you'll see a jig, but not very often.
See, I live in Dallas-Fort Worth, major metropolitan area. So to me, a mental picture like that literally sounds like heaven.
Well, yeah, right across the street from Walmart is a KFC. Same thing. It's all white, no niggers. But if you want to see niggers around here, you can be done. You have to go to the bigger cities, and we got them.
Wow. You know, now that you've described the community that you live in and how rare it is to see a coon up there, I just have to ask one question, Dwight. Do you have a guest room I could rent?
Well, I've got a shed, and you can live out in the shed. I grew up in this area, and there were no niggers in my hometown, no niggers in high school, but I joined the Navy after high school, and that was my education. And I learned everything there is to know about niggers while I was in that 4-year enlistment.
It's amazing how many converts come from the military. They go into the military, and they come out knowing exactly the truth about niggers.
Well, you live with them, and you find out everything there is to know, and it's not a pretty picture.
Well, Dwight, I mean, what did you learn about niggers in the military? What were your experiences with niggers when you were in the Navy, generally speaking?
Well, I was in a technical area, worked with electronics, and in my division of 32 guys, there were three niggers. And these three were at the upper end of the of the bell curve, IQ bell curve for niggers. But most of the niggers on the ship were not at the upper end, and you had to watch your stuff. They would steal from you. You didn't want to be around them when they were in a group and they were drunk, like in a bar on the shore station or whatever. They were Americans and they were in the same branch of the services as I was, but they were not. They were different. They were separate, and they self-segregated, which was good because nobody wanted to be around them anyway. But even the smart ones, they would revert back to TNB when they got back with their bros. See, I learned that they're different than we are.
Well, there you go. I mean, at one point or another, all of us out there who have eyes and ears and an open mind and are honest with ourselves learn what these monsters are all about. Dwight, I really want to thank you for being with us tonight and sharing your opinions and your experiences on Chimp Out Radio, and we hope to have you on again.
Well, I've enjoyed being here and look forward to talk to you folks again.
Sure thing. All right, well, that was Dwight Mansbruden, ladies and gents, from the Chimp Out Forum. It was really great to have him on. Good to have someone on here with some, good life experience with niggers that he's willing to share with the rest of us. And I guess we're about done for tonight. As always, enjoy being with you folks. Not sure when we'll be back or who we'll have on. This show is always sort of a surprise until the day we make it. But
yeah,
had a great time with it. As always, if you agree with us, join us on the forum at chimpout.com. If you have any, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, ideas, suggestions, death threats, whatever else you got, email them to nutnice, NUTNICE, at hushmail, hushmail.com. And yes, I did used to be a spelling bee champion when I was a kid. Even though English is not my primary language. nutnice@hushmail.com.
What? Yeah, we can wrap things up so you can finish off that Mickey's that you're drinking.
Yeah, and I will do my best to finish it up before I pass out. And all of you, once again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you next time. Thank you again for joining me, Birdman.
Oh, no problem. I love doing the show.
Same here, folks, and we will see you next time on Chimp Out Radio. Have a great week, and goodbye.